Moshe Amsel, welcome back to The Law Entrepreneur.
Neil, thank you so much for having me.
I'm glad to have you join us again today as a little pre-event to our episode. We want to talk about the upcoming Law Firm Growth Summit that you're hosting. Tell our audience a little bit about it.
Yeah, sure. Thank you so much for the opportunity to do this, Neil. The Law Firm Growth Summit started in 2019. We had a virtual event. Over 2,300 law firm owners were with us, and it was mind-boggling, the takeaways and the benefit that people had. We had one attorney tell us that he literally was on the brink of closing his firm and instead had his best year ever this year during COVID because of the feedback that he got and the information that he got at the event. And there are many more like that. So I'm super excited to have the opportunity to continue to enhance the businesses of a ton of law firm owners who are willing to join us on February 9th to 11th.
You mentioned in the past that part of the focus of the Growth Summit this year was addressing the changes in the legal industry brought on primarily by COVID, but just, you know, frankly, the changes that typically occur on an annual or basis as a result of a number of different factors, because it's always a dynamic process. So I know one of the areas that you wanted to focus on this summit was team management. And that, I'm assuming, incorporates everything from onboarding all the way through managing and motivating and ultimately even in saying goodbye to some team members if that's what's called for. Tell us how that topical area is going to be addressed during the summit.
Yes. And Neil, what's interesting is that everything that you just mentioned, we always had that, right? No matter 20 years ago, that was a challenge for law firm owners is who do I hire? How do I train them? How do I educate them? How do I make sure that they want to pull their own weight? And how do I compensate them? And then how do I say goodbye if they're the wrong fit? But what's interesting is that now there's a new dynamic. And that is the fact that we can do business from anywhere. You know, lawyers have been the steadfast ones that said, we can't virtualize, we can't do it from anywhere because we're tied to the courthouse or we're tied to meeting clients in the office, things like that. So therefore, they built their entire team around this assumption that everybody has to be in my office. And that is the thing that is fundamentally changing and has opened up a whole new world of opportunity to have virtual reception services, virtual assistants, virtual paralegals, even virtual attorneys or contract attorneys. And the age of I have to hire somebody full-time in order to bring them on is quickly leaving in this gig economy. And we're moving to this, you know, almost like Uber of legal employment, where if I need some extra legal work done, rather than hiring another attorney, let me find a contract attorney that can handle this one project for me or can go to court for me. And those are the things that we're finding that we need to navigate. And I want to help our attorneys figure out how to navigate that and how to make the best decisions and find the right personnel that are not necessarily tied to their physical office, but instead are the right cost for the right amount of work, for the right need that needs to be filled, instead of being forced into this box, which makes it very hard to profit. We have this unique opportunity to not only enhance our customer service, but to profit better as the owner because we're able to control our costs so much.
Have you been able to identify the speakers who are going to kind of focus on this area, or is that still being sorted out?
It's being sorted out, but one of our platinum sponsors is Get Staffed Up, and that's Brett Tremblay. I've had him on my podcast. I think you had him on yours.
Indeed, we did.
You have Brett on your podcast?
Yep, we did.
Yeah, so I'm sure Neil will tell you what episode that was in his show notes and stuff. But Brett Tremblay is a great guy. He's an attorney. He's running a 10-person or more practice. I think the last time I spoke to him, he was up to 12 or 14, or maybe he's even 20. I forget. But he has multiple people working there. He started Get Staffed Up because they needed to solve a problem. He needed people to do certain things, and it was very hard for him to find the right people in his marketplace. And he ended up going to South America, Central America, and that opened his eyes to the fact that other people could do that too. And he started this company that, honestly, two of my team members are from there. And we've had a great experience. So that's just one example. He's going to be speaking amongst many others that are another one who we've had last year who's going to be back is Molly McGrath or Molly Hall. I forget which name she's using now. from Hiring and Empowering Solutions. She has her own podcast as well. She's great. And her overall messaging theme is how to make your employees intrapreneurs, which is her word for an entrepreneur who works for you. And that's really what we all want. We want to have some people on our team that are going to make decisions from understanding where we're going and understanding what we need to do and not needing to get stuck every time we're not sure how to do the next thing.
Yeah, well, Molly's another great guest that we've had on, and I'm really looking forward to having an opportunity to interact with her on, you know, a real-time basis at the summit. So Moshe, tell our audience again how to get more information about the summit and how they may go about signing up for it.
Absolutely. So Neil, once again, thank you for this opportunity. Folks, if you want to get tickets, it's February 9th to 11th. Go to lawfirmgrowthsummit.com/TLE, lawfirmgrowthsummit.com/TLE. And I'll throw out this one last thing. And that is we have three amazing keynote speakers that at the time we're recording this, we haven't officially announced, but we will be announcing. One of them is Mike McCallowis, the author of Profit First. The second is Kevin Harrington. He's one of the original sharks from Shark Tank. And the third is David Neagle, which is a business coach. He's known internationally, has a multi-million-dollar coaching company. Those three folks are going to be keynoting at our event. You definitely don't want to miss it. Come and join us.
Yeah, I would say that they're worth the price of admission alone. So I'm looking forward to it, Moshe. Thanks again for being with us today and giving us a little bit of time and opportunity to look forward to the Law Firm Growth Summit.
Awesome. Thank you, Neil.
Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 251 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyree, your host once again. Today, my guest is Ken Hardison. And Ken is a good old boy. I don't think he'll object to me introducing him that way. Good old boy from South Carolina, who was a very successful attorney, created and built and ultimately sold 2 7-figure law firms before he started something called PILMA. So PILMA, P-I-L-M-A, stands for Powerful Innovative Lawyers Marketing Management Association. And just from kind of a branding purpose, isn't that great? I mean, the name of the organization tells you everything you need to know, right? Powerful Innovative Lawyers Marketing and Management Association. So I think with that as an introduction, there's a lot we can learn from this good old boy in South Carolina. So without any further delay, here is Ken Hardison. Ken Hardison, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Well, thank you for having me, my friend. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm delighted to have you with us, Ken. And, you know, I can obviously tell you have that very strong Brooklyn accent going on right there off the get-go.
Oh, yeah, the South Bronx.
Way south, right?
Way south, yeah.
So, Ken, tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
Okay, well, I'm actually a lawyer. I hadn't practiced in probably about 10 years. Graduated from law school in 82. Pretty much started my first law practice in 83, well, actually in December 82, $2,500 that I had saved up out of law school. Believe it or not, I had a company in law school that I sold. I've always been very entrepreneurial. I had a research business and had about eight lawyer students working for me. And I was in the school newspaper and it went out to all the lawyers in North Carolina. And we had a pretty good thriving business. And
nice.
Yeah, so I've always been entrepreneurial, and, you know, had to because I was actually raised very poor. My mother had a eighth grade education. My father had a fourth grade education. I was the first one to even go to college, much less law school. So I come from a, as you can tell, I'm a old country guy from North Carolina. You know, I was very motivated not to be stuck in the same place, you know, that my parents were. Not that they weren't great people, but I just didn't want that lifestyle of having to live hand to mouth. You know what I mean?
I absolutely know what you mean.
So, you know, I did that, and I didn't have an idea what I was doing, you know, but I figured that I could just, I had to drive, and that's what counted, and I just plugged in there, and I did okay. I mean, nothing great. And then I just started to, I went with this law firm across the street. They invited me over as a partner about my third year out, and I stayed with them from like 85 to 96. And what happened, my business kept going up. I did PI, Social Security, workers' comp, criminal. I did I was in a small town, like 10,000 people. So I did pretty much a general practice. My partner did real estate, another one in the States, another one did domestic. And I did pretty much everything else.
Right.
And I went to court one day, and my business kept going up maybe 5%. And we did a little cross marketing, but nothing big. All we did was Yellow Pages. And then I started noticing my business in like 93, 94 start leveling out, and I couldn't figure out what was going on. And I go to court one day, and DWI, the guy walks in with on the crutches. And I said, well, I can't remember his name. Joe, what happened? And he said, I got T-boned by this Coca-Cola truck. I said, well, you know, we handled those cases. He said, yeah, but I saw this guy on TV, and I figured he must really be good. So I hired him, and I'm thinking, oh, my God. And I knew this guy. This guy was never tried a case, and that was back in 95, 96. And he still has never tried a case, but he's got one hell of a law firm.
Yeah.
And I went back, and we tried the DWI. I won it. I was a pretty good trial lawyer back then. And went back to him. I told my partner, said, we got to start marketing. And they said, well, no, it's unprofessional. We're not going to do it. So we had a dialogue for about 6 months, and finally I just left, started my own law firm, took one associate and three staff, and didn't know a darn thing about marketing or business or anything because they didn't teach that in law school. And so what I did, I did two or three things. I went to, there was no marketing, not like now. There's so many people out there doing what I do. But back then there was nothing. So I studied from the masters of Jay Abraham, Dan Kennedy. I read books like from Caples. I just really immersed myself in marketing. And then I picked out who were really successful lawyers in other states. And I would call them up and say, hey, can I come down and take you to lunch or dinner? I mean, I went back to Florida, Indiana. And it was just amazing. They would just tell me anything, you know. And I got the feeling that, you know, we're lawyers. We have big egos. So therefore, hey, they love to talk about themselves. People like to brag. And I just soaked it in. And I took it back. And then I went out and hawked everything I had, everything I owned. I think I even gave up my firstborn. got me a line of credit. And I went on TV. And I went from signing up 20 cases a month to 120 in like 60 days. Wow. Yeah. Of course, here's one of my big mistakes is, and almost went bankrupt and almost had a nervous breakdown because I couldn't handle it, man. I wasn't ready for it. We had to turn it off. So, you know, my mom said, be careful what you wish for. And I would tell people that because sometimes, you know, that's worse than not getting cases, getting them. And then people were calling the bar and you're not giving good service. And I didn't expect it to be that great. Right. But I learned. So, you know, now when I talk to lawyers and they want me to give them the secret, I say, well, you got to make sure you got a good infrastructure because if you don't, what's going to happen is what happened to me. You know, you've got to have your systems, your processes in place because you got to hire a lot. If you really grow fast, and even after that, I went in and hired some people that were really super, super smarter than I was about how to set up processes and procedures, systematize. And we grew from two lawyers and three staff in 96. 2001, we had 13 lawyers and 47 staff. So it was phenomenal growth. But listen, I made so many mistakes along the way and wasted so many thousands, hundreds of thousands, if not millions, along the way. And the simple reason was because there was nobody there for me to ask any questions or get any advice from, because my competitors are damn sure ain't going to tell me, right?
Well, and let's kind of cycle back on that a little bit, because I think it's important for our audience to recognize the environment that you're in at the time, some of which still remains today. I mean, back in the day when you were first starting this out, as you said, there were no coaches, there were no really mentor programs. You were really lucky if you found a firm that would take you on as an associate and kind of let you learn the ropes at their feet. So you had to, as you said, resort to reading some of the books on marketing and business development from folks that weren't associated with law firms and apply it to the practice of law. And I think, it's really astute on your part to recognize that in that regard, running a law firm is no business and running no different than running any other business.
Absolutely. It's not. And the marketing is no different, other than we have some ethic rules we have to abide by. True. But other than that, there is no difference. I mean, I tell people there's four parts to every business. Getting business, which is marketing, fulfilling the promise, which is working the case and getting it concluded, admin, which is like bookkeeper and HR, and then management. And if you think about it, no matter if it's a law firm or a plumber or IBM, it don't matter. That's the only four phases of a business. I mean, and it just don't matter. I mean, and I hear lawyers all the time, well, my firm's different. It don't matter. It don't even matter if it's a law firm. Other than the ethical stuff, it don't matter. As far as management, it doesn't matter.
Right.
And I just laugh and snicker. I said, it doesn't matter. But people tell me that all the time. Well, my law firm's different. We do Social Security, or we do criminal. And you did a lot of PI, Ken. But I've done it all in the past. But that was what I settled into, was PI, workers' comp, and Social Security. That the last 15 years before I sold out. And it is no different. I mean, you've got to have a. And that's another thing I can tell you. I made a big mistake. I really didn't have a game plan. It was like the Wild West. I mean, I just threw the money out there, bought some TV, and went at it. And that was so stupid. Even Pilmo, the company I own now, I mean, we're taking all next week and doing year-end planning for next year. I mean, we've been doing the preliminary, but now we're bringing in our people and sharing it with them and then getting them on board of what we're trying to accomplish next year. But it did none of that to start with. I would tell you, the big deal is have a game plan. And the deal is, it might change five times next year. But the deal is, you got to have something as a base to start with. You got to have some kind of goals. And then the other big deal is where I see all the lawyers really fail at. I think the biggest problem is they just fail to implement. I put on these big events every year in June. I have 300 or 400 lawyers show up. And we just, it's like getting fed from a fire hose, they tell me. I mean, they said it's overwhelming. They have 20 or 30 things they want to do when they get back. And 95% of them get back and they got the best intentions. And then they get caught up in the practice of law, or life gets in the way, and they don't ever get anything done. I mean, and that's where I see the biggest problem is people, I don't care what it is, if you want something bad enough, you've got to set aside time to do it. And so what I try to tell all my members of PILMA, minimum, I'd say 8, but a minimum when you start, 2 hours a week, you make an appointment with yourself to work on your business. And that means marketing or management or whatever. And you just do it. You say, I don't have time. We make time for what we really want.
Sure.
If we really wanted to go to the Masters, if we really want to go to the Super Bowl, we'd make time to do it, because that's something we really wanted to do. So the question is, do you really want it bad enough? I mean, that's what I ask people. Do you really want it bad enough to do what it takes? Because I had the girl I hired, and she was really my savior. She said, I can make any lawyer a millionaire if he's willing to work. And she was right.
Well, it's interesting. You bring up, I was going to ask you, what were your views in terms of the biggest barriers to growth that you experienced personally or with some of your clients? But you've actually already covered a bunch of them here. Yeah. Let me just tick these off again to make sure we don't lose sight of them, and then invite you to add to that if you care to. So one, you need to be mindful of the fact that that if you plan on growing, you better be able to accept the growth.
Yeah,
you have to be ready to scale if that's your objective. And number two, you have to have a game plan. It doesn't matter how rough it is or how undeveloped it is. It's a starting point that you can refine and update along the way. You should refine and update along the way. But none of that matters, three, if you don't implement the objectives. And I like to think of, pick one small success and build on it. Pick one thing to do. Get that done. Then pick the next thing. Get that done.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I mean, I think, I'm also a certified scaling up coach. I don't know if anybody's ever read the book Rockefeller Habits, but if you haven't, I would recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he did a subsequent book called Scaling Up. And it's very intense. And one thing I've learned a lot, I wish I'd known, I built 2 7-figure law firms, but if I'd known this guy before then, I would have been building 8 and 9-figure law firms. I'm telling you, it's amazing. So the three big areas is number one, implementation. But then the second one is people. And boy, I was terrible at it. At hiring people.
Oh, you mean staffing, right? Okay.
Yeah, staff people and lawyers. It really, I mean, this is a saying that Vern Harnish told me, and I'll never forget it. I had him actually visit one of my masterminds. Well, I had to pay him a lot of money, but
right. But
the deal was, he said, great business has ever been built on the back of average employees. And that has stuck with me. He said that about a year ago, and that stuck with me. And, lawyers, and this is another big mistake, and I know you've heard this thing, hire slow, fire fast, but the deal is, lawyers are so all businesses are so reactive instead of being proactive. And then when they lose somebody, they got to replace them. Let's just get somebody in there, one body. We'll work it out. And that's the most terrible thing you could do. I mean, like here at Pilma, it took me 6 months to find a social media marketing director. And we had a lot of, we went through lows and lows, and we did a lot, but we went through what they call top grading. And that's another book that I would tell people to read by Brad Smart, who I've had him speak at one of my events before too. Brilliant guy. The deal is you've got to find people that align with your core values. And I'm reading a book right now by, I think his name is Lencioni. It's called The A-Team Player or something. You got to have team players. And the big deal about team players is there's three big things. You got to have somebody that's hungry. And that means not just for money, but hungry to exceed, to grow. You got to have somebody that's humble and have humility. They're not. And then you got to have somebody that, let's see, what was it? It was humility, hungry, and smart. And that means emotion, not just smart. They got to have common sense, but book sense. But I'm talking about emotional intelligence, how to deal with people. Have you ever had somebody that was a great, I've seen lawyers that were super lawyers, but they were assholes, excuse me.
Yeah.
Jackasses.
Yeah.
Jackasses. And that's what the book calls about. You don't want to hire jackasses. I've hired people and I do testing now. And this guy told me, he said, this guy's inner directed. And I said, what is inner directed? He said, this guy's brilliant, but he thinks if he sees a problem and he's got an answer. You'll never convince them there's more than that. His way is the only way to solve that problem. And of course, we all know there's always more than one way to skin a cat. And I went against that guy's recommendation. I hired him anyway. He lasted about 3 months and he was brilliant, but he just went off and did his own deal when he was not a team player, So you want to stay away from jackasses. I mean, because I fired some really good people over the years that were brilliant, a lot smarter than I were, but they were not team players and they didn't treat my clients good. What it came down to, they didn't align with my core values, which is I was real big on client service and treat people the way you want to be treated and that sort of thing.
Tell me about, you mentioned that you were, you do some testing now when you bring staff on. Are you looking at things like, some of the personality testing platforms? Yeah.
I used to do those, but now I've got this one test that nobody knows about, Harley. It's like my little secret, but I'll give it out. Called Real Talent Hiring. It's a guy out of Raleigh, North Carolina, Jay Henderson. He used to work with, who's the guy that wrote the Seven Habits? Covey?
Stephen Covey, yeah.
Stephen Covey, he worked with him, and then he went out and studied with this guy. And it's called like an axis, I can't remember, but it's not really personality, but it tells you how this person's ability to solve problems and whether or not what motivates them and whether or not they're a team player. And it hits these three big deals that I was reading the book last night. And I'm saying this test is what this test does. It measures these three things, whether or not they're humble, you know.
And you found that valuable for your hiring practices?
In 14 years, I've not hired a person without them taking that test.
Interesting. You know, it's one of the things that I've been kind of hesitant to jump into because me personally, I don't like those kinds of tests. So I bring my own baggage to the table. And I'm sure there's a lot of other folks like that, but you're not the first one who's told me that whatever methodology you use as a personality evaluation or some type of systemic approach to understanding what makes up a person's being that it's the most valuable thing they've done for their staffing profile.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the deal is, I mean, a bad hire, you think about what a bad hire costs.
Kills you.
It kills you, you know, and I've had them. And listen, this guy is about, his stuff's about 95% correct. It still ain't 100%, but it's better than anything I've ever tried before. You know, but I had a big problem of when I do interviews, you tend to want to hire somebody that's like you, and you don't need nobody like you. You need somebody completely different, you know, and if a lot of people are just professional interviewers and really could just really con me. And I was just terrible at hiring people. I mean, I would just, if I liked them, I hired them. And the deal is that's not the criteria for hiring somebody. Criteria is do they have the skills, and the aptitude and attitude to work in and be a team player and to help further what you're trying to accomplish, whatever your vision or goals are.
Today's episode of The Law Entrepreneur is brought to you by my friends at Spotlight Branding. For many years, marketing companies have focused on funnels that run for a short time, often leaving dozens of leads behind that didn't make a decision yet. Spotlight Branding has found a better way. It's called a content loop, and it's changing the way attorneys think about their marketing. This system nurtures your leads in perpetuity with quality, evergreen content that elevates your credibility and helps the rest of your marketing actually work. If you're interested in learning more, head over to spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in the law entrepreneur, to learn more about the content loop and how it can revolutionize your law firm's marketing. Spotlight Branding, more referrals, better clients, higher return on investment.
Now, if you've been a listener of this podcast for any time, you know that I sing the praises of Ruby all the time because they're really responsible in my own practice for helping me grow my business, deliver personalized experience to my clients, you know, building customer loyalty, really, in terms of having a consistent front-facing office partner in Ruby, and allows me to stay connected anywhere, anytime to my business through their services. So I can't say enough about Ruby. I'm delighted to have them and continue to have them as a sponsor of this podcast. And this episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Daylight, the all-in-one contact relationship manager, or CRM. I've been using Daylight for well over 10 years now, and it's the best CRM for business on the Mac and iPhone. And despite having a case management platform that I'm very happy with, I still use Daylight to handle all of my many other law firm needs. When you're running your own law firm, it can be difficult to stay on top of follow-ups, keep track of details and communication, and stay aware of what needs to be done next on each project. Daylight organizes everything in one place, so you don't have to rely on your memory to keep it all straight. If you're feeling like it's time to upgrade from spreadsheets to a CRM, check out Daylight. You can download it from the App Store or visit www.marketcircle.com and try it free for 30 days. On top of that, you can get your first month free when you tell them you heard about Daylight here on The Law Entrepreneur. Daylight by Market Circle. staying top of mind without the stress.
I remember back in the day, you know, in a previous lifetime, before I became an attorney, I was managing a large group of folks. Company brought in, you know, these kind of management gurus who administered the Myers-Briggs test to everyone. And this, yeah, is probably, this is probably where my dislike of these kinds of tests come from. And I remember that the conclusion that they came up with when, with respect to my management style was, likes to run a country club operation.
Well, that's fine.
If you're running a country club. But yeah, I wasn't at the time. And so I think I was, I fell into the same kind of pattern as you did. You, and I think a lot of people do. You hire people that you like and you feel like you can get along with, because really you want that to be the case. But we so seldom look at, well, will they complement what I do? Or do they fill in a hole that I don't have?
Yeah. That's another big deal I teach. And I've got this program called Strategic Attorney Coach. It's part of the PILMA umbrella. We only have three deals, but I don't really want to get into that unless you want to know about it. But the deal is, I've got this process where we actually figure out what your unique strengths are, because what you need to do, instead of trying to be great at everything, leverage your strengths. Like me personally, I'm terrible at technology. So I just don't deal with it, other than I hire somebody really smart to do it. I'm just not going to mess with it. And I really don't like to manage. I know how to manage, but I really don't like it. So I always hired really good managers. I'm a leader. I'm an ideal guy. I'm a visionary. And so I spend most of my time doing that. And I'm really good at inventing things. Like, I've invented this law firm profit calculator, which at the end of the show, I will actually, I'll give them a site to go to that they can use it for free.
Oh,
that,
nice.
That you can actually, it's amazing. You can do one or two things by raise or decrease one or two things by 2 or 3%. And you can see a 20% increase in your profits at the end of the year. So it's amazing.
Well, before we get to that, because I want to come back to that by discussing what PILMA is. But just before we do that, I want to touch on one other thing that I made a note to ask you about. You know, one of the challenges that so many attorneys have when they listen to coaches, when they listen to mentors who tell them that you need to differentiate yourself from the rest of the competition. I have so many people that come back to me and say, I don't have no idea how to differentiate myself. I mean, I'm an attorney. I'm doing family law just like every other family law attorney around here. Or I'm doing personal injury just like other personal injury. So what is your view about how people might go about, and what does it really mean to differentiate yourself from the competition?
So let's go back to the start, because this is, about everything I teach, this is the hardest for lawyers to grasp. And it's the hardest to do. I'm not going to lie about it. It takes work, because that was when I first heard of this. That was my first reaction, is, yeah, we all do the same thing. I mean, what are we doing different? I mean, we have to do certain things and we get sued for malpractice. We have to do a certain quality. I mean, you know, you do a will, right? You go to court. You try DWI, you know? But the deal is, you do want to be different. And this is where I see lawyers make a mistake, is they try to copy everybody else. We're tough, we're care, free consultation, you know. So how do you do it? Well, there's a process, and there's a book. Give me just a second. Okay. So there's, like, believe it or not, this guy wrote this book, and I talked to him, interviewed him probably about 8 years ago, and his name is Bill Bodry, B-O-D-R-I. It says, How to Create a $1 Million Unique Selling Proposition. Unique selling proposition is the same thing as differentiator. And he's got 10 different ways, might even be, you know, 10 different methods. He's got nine different methods on how to do this. Now, I can tell you, I like where you go back and ask your best referrers, and that means your best clients, people that love you, your Raven fans. You go through and do a survey and ask them, what is the one thing about our firm that you like that no other firm has ever done for you? Ask this question. Or the one word that comes to your mind when you think of our law firm is blank. Or, you know, or one thing I hate about hiring a domestic lawyer is blank. And the reason that I would refer you more and more clients is blank. And so you get all these answers, it's going to start creating a theme for you. Like with me, I did it in 98, 99. And my conclusion was that people loved us because they said we put them first. We didn't care about, we weren't as interested about our fees. We were about helping them, that we always put them first. And that we were all about client service. They never said it like, we got great results or anything. That wasn't the thing that we treated them like family. We put them first. They knew that any decision we made was putting them.
Was in their best interest.
Best interest. It's sort of like Jay Abraham's The Theory of Preeminence. If you've never read his books, you ought to read it too. He's really good. He's one of my mentors that I paid loads and loads of money over the years to pick his brain, and it's been worth every cent of it. But
yeah, so this book for our audience who's trying to keep pace with us, this book is by Bill Bodry, B-O-D-R-I, as you said, yeah. How to Create a $1 Million Unique Selling Proposition.
Yeah.
And so it came out a few years ago, but really highly thought of. And so the methodology there, one of those is to do surveys, to do polls, to try and find out from other sources who are looking at your firm. Not yep. You come up with the idea. What do other people think is the strongest point about your business?
Yeah.
And then develop it from there.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, it might be something somebody else is doing. And if you we call it preemptive. Whereas, like, if you're the first one to claim it, like, this is something I did. I kind of did. I took those things, and what I did, I created a. So I took that and I came up with a tagline: always putting you first. But then I said, okay, what are we going to do to really on our ads? That's okay. That's a good tagline, but that don't say a lot. Yeah. That's not really. So I came up with this 30-day. Money back guarantee. It was really 35. It wasn't even a money back guarantee. It was a client. I did contingency law firms. So we didn't get paid to the end. So what I did, I called it a 100% client satisfaction guarantee. And so what I did was, you know, this is the way I said it. No lawyer can guarantee you results, and neither can we, but we can, and we do guarantee you this. That if you're not completely satisfied the way we treat you in your case, the first 30 days, and get your file. No fees, no cost.
You're not going to take your Quantum Marriott slice of that 30-day
pie. But the deal is, other than that, how much is Quantum Marriott going to be for 30 days of working on a file? Not that much in a PI case. And, sure. And what we did when we did that, our conversions went up 22%.
Interesting.
Just that one thing. And then we created, of course, we didn't just talk about it. We walked the walk. I created a client advocate hotline, 800 number they could call at any time they had a complaint about service, they could do that. I created a client bill of rights and said, you know, and then one of them was like, we won't talk to you in the mumbo jumbo law. We'll talk to you like, you know, in plain English, explain your rights or your alternative. Sure. You know, we did that. And, but it can be something as simple as, like I tell lawyers, you know, maybe you just want to represent women. Maybe you just want to represent men. Maybe, you know, if all you do is criminal is what we do, it's all we do. I mean, it could be anything like that. It could be, you know, you see a lot of people no fee guarantee, you know, on contingency cases, but getting a domestic, you know, it could be callback guarantee. I mean, you know, here's the biggest complaint, right? State bars all across the country. Lawyers don't communicate. They don't call their clients back. So why don't you have a deal with, you know, I've told lawyers, have a deal, we'll call you back the same day, or either we'll cut $200 off your bill.
Right.
Why not? I mean, you know.
It holds you accountable to your own, you know, proclamation, so to speak.
And it answers a question, a complaint that everybody has about lawyers. They friggin' will not call you back.
So you've done a lot. You've practiced in a few areas. You've built a couple of firms. And then I want to segue here to the fact that now you created and are the founder of something called PILMA.
Yeah.
Tell us what PILMA is.
Well, PILMA is an acronym for Powerful Innovative Legal Marketing and Management Association. And so what we do is we have three different levels. I got a gold level where we have a listserv. And that's where people can go in, and they've got questions or problems. They can do it right there and get immediate feedback from our other hundreds of members. Or if they got a vendor that's trying to sell them something, they can put it out. And I see them sometimes. They'll say, run, you know, this guy's he's a con. You know, you say, oh, they're great. I mean, they under promise and over deliver, but it's amazing. A lot of people join just for that one thing, so they don't get, because you get three calls a week minimum from somebody trying to sell you something.
Three calls a day.
Yeah. And we got a magazine we put out, and we do webinars. We got trainings. I got modules, training modules, and I've hired a coach to help me out some, to help you do it, to help you. Our goal is to increase profits and less stress. You know what I mean is, and get you systematized. We just got to process, you know, certain things I see, the most common mistakes and the ones that I made. You know, and this costs me a lot of money. And the idea is, we're going to shortcut and save you money because you're going to learn from all our past mistakes. And, you know, like I said, I built two big law firms, sold them, both of them for seven figures. And the deal is, why did you sell them? Well, I get bored. I'm an entrepreneur at heart. And once I build something,
more interested in the creating.
I really am. Once I get it, I get bored, you know, and if I can't. You know, I drive my people crazy because I'm always coming up with these ideas, you know, different things. You know, I've got four or five businesses. I've got a ghost calling business now that I just started. We ghost call your office to make sure these people are handling your calls. Because everybody says, I sign up every case I want. And they do, but their staff and their other associates don't. But I can promise you. I promise you that you're losing at least 20% of the cases you could get. I promise you. I would bet you $100 against a million.
You mentioned you had the three levels of support. You got the gold membership, then you've got a couple of other.
Strategic attorney coach, and that's where we go through. And I actually teach you, like, this would be somebody that wants to go to the, you know, they just kind of floundering around, really don't know how, and it's a lot more accountability. We have, we meet four times a year, and then we have weekly meetings. I call them accountability, because here's the deal. If you pay somebody, and they're holding your feet to the fire, you don't want to waste your money. So we found that that really works. If you get something for free, that's what you think of it. You know, you give it no value. And then the last thing is masterminds. And I've been in masterminds for 15 years. I love them. I actually facilitate five different masterminds. I got three different levels, depending on where you're at in your practice. You know, people that are doing under a million, people that are doing one to 10 million, and I got my eight figure. I got guys that start out in this first one and then they end up in the eight figure, which is they're doing over 10. I actually got one already doing 55 million.
And how does the mastermind group differ from, yeah, say, the other two?
Yeah, that's more like a board of advisors. We meet three times a year,
okay,
2 days, and everybody shares what's working and not working. And then you can, and what challenges you're having, and I facilitate it. And then you got all these different lawyers that, they're going to keep you from making the same mistakes they made. And then I jump in at the end if I don't think you've got a sufficient enough answer. I try to make it not the Ken Hardison show.
Right.
But I'm there, and I'm the person there that keeps the lawyer that's trying to hog the stage. I kind of cut him back. And if I got a lawyer that's real quiet, don't really speak up, I try to pull it out of them. So I'm like a orchestra leader, I guess. But
a facilitator in that
regard. Yeah. And then I do it a little different. We do that. Plus, I give them two, three ghost calls a month. I give them access to some of the scaling up videos from, I call the kings and queens of marketing and management. And then I usually have guest speakers come in once in between our meetings. And then I do some kind of teaching, some kind of training. So, you know, and then they get access to all the stuff in the vault. We have a vault full of past magazines, webinars, right, and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, it's different levels. I mean, I've enjoyed it. I've been doing it for 10 years.
Well, it sounds great. Let me just circle back here real quick to make sure that our listeners picked up on one other thing. You mentioned Vern Harnish a couple of times. I want to just be clear. Vern, amongst other things, wrote a book called Scaling Up, How a Few Companies Make It and Why the Rest Don't. And so that was recommended to me a couple of years ago. I have to admit that I never even cracked the book open. So it's sitting here on my shelf. I have a few of those kinds of books. So
yeah,
you're kind of motivating me here, Ken, to pick a couple of those off. If you've motivated anybody else here, Ken, tell them how they can reach out to you. What's the best way for them to contact you and find out a little bit more about Pilma if they're interested?
Yeah, just info@pilma.org. It's P as in Paul, I as in ice, L as in love, M as in man, A as in apple, .org. Mm-hmm. And also, this calculator, you go to pilma.org/lawfirmcalculator. You can have access to that. You'll have fun with that. And I actually think I got a webinar that I do with that. It's free. All this stuff's free. It'll tell you how to cut these things, how to cut 2% off your overhead, how to increase your revenue without spending any more money, space out your accounts payable, get your accounts receivables in faster. It's just little things, how you tighten up your case, you know, just. There's seven levers. They call it the seven levers of cash flow. Is what they call it. So I learned that in scaling up too. But I'm a big scaling up guy now because I got certified as a coach, and it took me a year and about 220 hours of work.
That is a lot of work.
It's intense. It's very intense. It's
all right, there, Ken. And then let's also plug your podcast real quick before we go.
Grow Your Law Firm. And I've got a website like you do, growyourlawfirm.com. We're going to have you on our show, too. And we try to get smart people like you. And I interview them just like you're doing me. And I learn something every time I get on one and interview somebody. We're getting really good reviews on it. It's nothing near as big as yours, Neil. We've been doing it in a year.
I'd love to join you, Ken. And if you're looking for a smart guy, I'm going to have to kind of work on my game a little bit. Ken, I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us today on The Law Entrepreneur. Wish you all the best. We're recording this episode right before the holidays. So my best to you and to your family. And let's all be well and be prosperous next year.
Absolutely. 2021. Thank God 2020 is over with. 2021 will be better.
Indeed. Thanks again, Ken, so much.
Thank you.
Well, there you have it, Law Entrepreneurs. Thanks for being with us today and with this episode of The Law Entrepreneur. I want to thank our sponsors, as usual, Ruby Receptionists, Daylight, and Spotlight Branding. Make sure you swing on by our website at thelawentrepreneur.com or visit our Facebook page or Twitter account. You can find us anywhere by just searching on The Law Entrepreneur. Also, if you'd be kind enough, I'd love it if you could go to your podcast application and leave us a rating and a review. It helps with our visibility and it helps ensure that we're there to be found when people come looking for podcasts in the legal space. So once again, thanks for being a part of today's episode of The Law Entrepreneur.